notes. All right. And one, and two, and
we are the buddy bears, we always get along.
We stay, we do a little dance and sing a little song.
If you ever disagree, it means that you are wrong.
We are the buddy bears, we always get along.
All right, that's perfect.
That's great.
We're really in sync.
Oh, geez, I can't believe how good that was.
You want to try it again? I had such a great time doing it.
No, I will never do that again. Podcast terrible. Desassant. This is George Shooter Nolan, a glittering angel of light and madness. How are you doing, George?
Doing all right. You can call me the animal.
That's what the fans call me. Oh yeah, and I was the machine, right?
Well, you are the machine.
I'm not confirming or denying that I am literally a machine, but that was the fan response.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny the fans when they describe something accurately.
No, I think one of Dante's layers of hell is reserved for people that don't listen to the fans.
Exactly. I had a pretty interesting fan interaction the other day.
I think we call those fanecdotes.
Exactly, a fanecdote.
Yeah. What do you got?
All right. So I was walking home. And then there was this guy, he was like on the train tracks and he was obviously in the stress, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, hey man, you gotta get off the tracks. And he's like, sorry, I don't want to live anymore. You know, like my whole life's over.
Oh.
And the only thing I was looking forward to, only thing I had left to live for was another episode of this podcast terrible.
And this is
early today, and I said, you know, actually I'm George the animal.
Yes.
Nolan. I mean, before I even like finished telling him my name, he like, you know, completed, you know, he said it, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, because we're household names.
Yeah, he like recognized my voice. He's like, he started crying. He's like, why haven't you come out with a new episode, you know? I said, hey, you know how these things are. Like, it takes a lot of post production work.
Yeah,
I get the money together. A lot of time goes into each episode. But you know, I'm actually on my way to Dez's studio. We're actually gonna make a new one. So just hang on, and then we'll, you know, come out with a new, and then the new episode will come out in like a few weeks or so.
Well, I hope he's still around.
Yeah, well, he's like, all right, that's really good to hear, you know, like, and he like got off the tracks, says, you know what, I don't think I want to die anymore. I think I still want to live now, knowing that there's going to be another episode of the show.
I was reading about one of those happiness index studies that they do, however much they mean. Right now, we're sort of not the happiest we've been. So hopefully our humble project can just add a little bit of happiness.
Well, obviously you saved at least one life.
I hope
today.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, saved mine too. I was probably going to, you know, binge drink. What's up? I don't know.
Antifreeze.
Well, no, that wouldn't taste good. How about
No, yeah, antifreeze. That's the whole problem about antifreeze is actually, it's dangerous because it tastes so good. It's
really
sweet. Yeah, that's That's the whole thing about it.
Have you consumed antifreeze?
No, but that's what I've heard. I've heard it from people.
Yeah.
Like it's apparently small children and animals get into antifreeze and keep drinking because it's so sweet and does not taste like poison.
Yeah, I wonder if they use it in any mixed drinks.
Oh, I'm sure. Like during Prohibition, they did something like that.
Yes, and we're not advocating any of these dark ideas. Self-poisoning is, you know, we like to have fun here on the podcast, but poisoning yep. yourself there's nothing fun about poisoning yourself.
Yeah, that's why I only drink hand sanitizer.
We like to have fun around here, but there's nothing fun about drinking hand sanitizer.
I do it to disinfect my insides.
No.
I get a little buzz on, you know.
Consuming hand sanitizer gets my official seal of disapproval.
Well, why is that?
Because it would damage delicate oily insides.
That's the first I ever heard of that.
Well, I'm glad I was here then. So we're saving all sorts of lives today. Desisant saves Shooter Nolan from consuming poison on this very special after school episode.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll just have to during winter I'll just have to drink some windshield wiper fluid.
No, I just have some delicious hot cocoa. I don't know the name of any hot cocoa companies, so if you're a hot cocoa sponsor, then we'll repeat this entire segment so I can introduce your delicious hot chocolate.
You know, actually, you know what sounds like it would be pretty good is gasoline.
Okay. I happen to know for a fact that gasoline isn't very good. I have.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Gasoline will give you energy. Like, isn't like that's what makes cars run, right? Like, it'll supercharge you if you drink gasoline. You know?
No. Well,
the human body is kind of like a car.
Well, I I'm not going to argue against that because it absolutely is kind of like a car, but gasoline, from what I remember, is it one, tastes much like it smells, and two, also tastes like pain. So don't ever drink or consume any amount of gasoline. It doesn't do the trick.
Well, yeah, have you drank it?
I have consumed a small amount of gasoline, yes.
Oh, were you siphoning gas?
No, I've always been actually lucky siphoning gas. What was it? I was a child, I believe, a little child. I don't remember many things from being a little child, but one of the things I remember from that little time was trying to fill up a car's gas tank with the little gas dispenser and losing the grip, and it shot back. And I remember basically what it's like to have eyes and nose and mouth filled with gasoline.
Was it pleasant?
No, in fact, it was unpleasant. And you know, I am not advocating for you or anyone to trust the statements of a child, because that's essentially what I'm giving you. I'm giving you a child's perspective, as regurgitated by an adult of sorts. But as far as that goes, I would like to discourage you from consuming any more gasoline than you know, you have to.
You ever use the gasoline to wash your hands?
Definitely not. No.
Oh, it actually kind of works.
No.
Yeah, it actually removes dirt and stuff from your hands.
I mean, I'd rather have dirt on my hands than gasoline.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, you know, on the scale of things I would like on my hands, dirt is closer to preferable than gasoline, yes.
I see. But, you know, you're such a clean person. You're so obsessed with cleanliness. I don't understand.
Well, I don't know about that. Like yesterday, I saw a really large spider. And lately, I've been looking at pictures of brown recluse spiders. And I'm not sure I could identify one if I see one, because there's an approximate appearance of spiders. And I smashed it. And I don't know if it was a brown recluse spider. I think if I was obsessed with cleanliness, I probably would have captured the spider and brushed its hair, you know, just really gotten all the gunk out of its fur.
Well, you could have soaked in gasoline and lit it up.
No, I don't want to harm the little beasts of the earth. No.
Don't you eat meat?
I would. I prefer not to answer that question at this time. I do not recall.
You don't recall.
I don't recall.
But yeah, I heard it was a brown recluse. Is there actually the population is exploding for some reason in the country in the United States?
I hope not.
Yeah, it's they'll mess you up, man.
Well, you know, I'll provide all due space. I'm usually pretty kind about the little animals when I'm outside. And there's a few that I'll tolerate inside, but your spookier spiders, like there was I don't know what it was the other day that ran at me, and it had a body that was about the size of a macaroni noodle. It was just really big. I have no idea what it was.
Oh yeah.
I had to go on a little hunt because it was fast.
What color was it?
Brownish, pinkish.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not like unusual color, right?
No, it was a very spidery color.
I see.
The unusual thing was how large its body was. It had comparable legs, but you know, sometimes you'll see a tiny body with long legs. This was a really large body.
Yeah.
It was quite a heavy friend. Well, it wasn't a friend, no. It was a fool.
Did you catch it?
No, I had to, it hid behind some furniture, and I had to throw things out of the way. And I regret to say, it is no longer with us. I further regret that I may have helped it along that journey. So I apologize to whoever feels the need for. I apologize to you, Shooter. I imagine that upsets you.
No, not at all. I'd actually like to take this opportunity to give some advice to our listeners.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you ever feel bad about like killing an insect or a spider or like eating meat or otherwise harming or killing an animal or, you know, aiding and abetting the harming and killing of animals, just keep in mind that you shouldn't feel too bad, because if an animal had a chance to kill us and eat us, they would take that opportunity every time.
I don't know about every time, but I mean, I saw a video where a cow ate a baby chick once.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know that it meant to do that. And I found a wild cat yesterday.
Cows killed lots of humans.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've heard about, I think it was on YouTube or something, but somebody had had a pet cow, and I don't know if you've spent any time around cows, but they're very sweet animals, at least in my experience. They're social, they're kind, they'll come and investigate you and sniff you, and you can pat them on the head and they'll lick you and stuff. And this cow was socialized as a pet, and it just didn't understand size and weight and ended up crushing its owner.
Oh man, that's a tragic story.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you should never have animals, you know, as pets. Never let them be, you know, comfortable around you. Never let them near you.
What is your preferred non-animal pet?
Non-animal pet?
Yeah, you said never let animals be your pets. What holds that place in your heart?
Yeah, podcast co-hosts.
You're a cruel man.
I'm just joking.
I hope so.
Yeah, never trust a cow. I think that's what I'm trying to say, though.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's fair.
They are dangerous. If not maliciously, at least they're, you know, dangerous like Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know, he tried. You know.
Have you read that book?
No,
haven't.
Well, I may or may not have done a reference to that book. I've read the book. I don't have to lie to you about reading Mice and Men.
Yeah. Pretty good book though, right?
Yeah, I remember it. It's been a very long time, actually.
I don't remember. You know what I don't understand about that book?
No.
Do you know the guy Curly? He was the landowner's son.
Yeah. He's like a
real jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kept his like hand in a glove with lotion all day, right? Like that wasn't that like I don't know, like if he never takes that glove off, it would get pretty smelly in there.
I mean, I've done that.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, yeah. No, I've covered my hand with lotion and worn it in gloves.
Yeah, but like this guy, you didn't like wear it like all day, every day, right?
No, I did not.
I mean, isn't that what like Curly did?
I don't remember.
Oh, because if he did, that's, you know, seems kind of disgusting.
What was the book where the guy put a hole in the popcorn bucket at the movies and had surprised his lady friend with the thing he put in the hole? What book was that? That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It's a familiar image. Maybe what was it? That movie, that book, what was it? Breakfast is Champions by Kurt Vonnegut.
I've read that. Which one was Breakfast of Champions? What happened to that?
I was making that up.
I've read a few Vonnegut books. I actually quite enjoy it, but the stories and the titles get confused with some of them. So I don't know which one Breakfast of Champions is offhand.
Yeah,
I can match story to title at the moment. Of course, Slaughterhouse Five, Cat's Cradle. The Daughters of Titan, but God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, I can match that with it, but there's a couple that that I can't quite fit in, you know.
It's the main character is Dwayne Hoover and Kilgore Trout.
Well, Kilgore trout is in a fair amount of his books. You reading anything good lately?
No, I'm pretty much illiterate, a functional illiterate.
Well, good.
At this point, that's how much I've been reading. You know.
Well, I mean, you functional is a pretty high praise these days.
I'm not saying that I'm a functional person.
Yeah.
Like functionally, I'm illiterate.
Or so you are a functional illiterate.
No, you know? No, I'm a dysfunctional illiterate person. And I'm a person who's functionally illiterate. So it's more of an adverb, not an adjective, right? I'm using it as an adverb, describing my illiteracy.
Well, you're certainly dampening my smile.
Listen, I have a question. Actually, it's not really an adverb because I'm it's just an adjective describing another adjective, right?
Yeah.
So that's just an adjective, right?
An adjective describing an adjective?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the adjective is going to stay an adjective.
The adverb describes the verb, right?
Yeah.
Like he read the book illiterately. That's an adverb, illiterately.
He read illiterately. Yeah, yes. He is an illiterate reader. Illiterate would be the adjective.
I see.
You can string those together too if you want to make unpleasant sentences. You can, anytime you want.
Yeah, like I think that's gonna be the next big thing is instead of writing books in order to be pleasant to read and easy to read, just like write books with like every sentence with the most tortured grammar and syntax you can do, you know, kind of like an extreme literature, you know.
Oh, I'm sure that exists somewhere in an intentional way and not just in every corner of the internet.
Well, I mean, yeah, it'd be like kind of like experimental metal or something, where it's not supposed to be easy to listen to or get into, you know?
Are you into that?
What?
Music that is meant to express something other than being pleasant?
Pleasant as in like pleasant to listen to?
Yeah, like deliberately, or no. When you talk about the experimental metal. Oh, here we go. Portmanteau, experimental. Yes.
Oh yes, I see where you're going.
Yeah, it took me a long time to get there, but I knew where I wanted to be, at least in a hope. But when you bring up what you have coined as experimental, which is going to be, as you've described it, music that is not meant to be good, but is meant to be something else. Are you into any music that is unpleasant, not necessarily on purpose, but pleasure of the listener is not an intended component of the music?
That's a good question, because I like have you heard of this band called Swans?
I don't know.
I like some of their stuff, but I actually enjoy listening to music, but it's kind of experimental and it's abrasive, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. But it's still, yeah, I still get enjoyment out of listening to it.
Yeah, see, I don't know how I would fall on that either, because like I like Autechre, and I think you could easily, you know, make the argument that it's not pleasant, but I mean, I enjoy it.
What kind of enjoyment do you get out of it?
You know, it kind of matches a state of mind sometimes. I don't find the music aggravating, but when I am aggravated, it kind of helps me achieve a certain displeased manic focus.
So you use it as to enhance like your effectiveness.
Yeah. If I am unhappy but focused, it can help me feel a little bit more disturbed but on task.
Oh, you know what? Maybe it could like provide greater clarity to your mental disturbance, right? By enhancing it. And it's like, not like, you know, let's say you're vaguely like disturbed, but you listen to an Autocure song, that will distress you even further, but it'll provide clarity to your mental disturbance.
I would say focus more than clarity. Mania is a departure from clarity a little bit. It's sort of a detached place, but it can be more focused.
Let's see. Do you find Autocure, the music of Autocure, do you find it makes you smarter, more intelligent?
Probably not.
Does it make you dance? Have you ever danced listening to Autocure?
No. In fact, I'm usually not much of a dancer. I will hold the music within.
Have you ever seen anyone dance to Autocure?
I've probably known one or two other people in my life that have expressed an interest in Autocure. And I don't know if I've ever seen them dance at all. Do you like Autocure?
I haven't really listened to too much of him, you know, or actually them. It's two guys.
Yeah, I don't know. It's worth getting into, but
I can't really remember like an Autocure tune, you know?
Yeah. Well, at least what I know, I do not have a comprehensive knowledge of Autocure. I just know a couple of albums, and they're kind of difficult names that don't come. This is not a focus musical interest. It's more of a peripheral one. But I do have a couple of albums, and they're not really tunes, at least what I know. It could be that he goes further out into, or that they go further out into other things.
Yeah. You know, it's called intelligent dance music. Like, what do you think of that genre name?
Intelligent dance
music? IDM, yeah. There's EDM, that's a big thing now. Which is electronic dance music, that's kind of the catch-all. And then IDM, that was a genre that people were trying to say exists, right? They're trying to IDM as a thing. It's basically short for intelligent dance music.
What's an example of intelligent dance music?
Maybe Aphex Twin.
I don't know. From what I know of Aphex Twin, it kind of shifts genres, where some of it is, I don't know. It goes from pleasant to experimental. I guess you could dance to some of it.
How about Square Push? Yeah, I can. There's like Window Licker, you can probably dance to.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You could dance to. I'm sure people have, especially if they're
avant-garde dancers
or inebriated.
Oh yeah. Well, Aphex Twin is apparently the big IDM Square Pusher.
I don't know Square Pusher at all.
What? I thought you were the one who like told me about Square Pusher. I guess it was someone else.
I mean, I might have. There are things that I'm sure I knew that I no longer know or cannot recall.
Oh yeah, Square Pusher. He's like a huge electronic, music person.
I'm not sure. It's not ringing a bell.
I have a Venetian snares.
Oh yeah, let's see. I think I have an album of theirs buried somewhere, but I haven't listened to it in years.
Yeah, and Boards of Canada.
That's a name that I just know. I don't believe I've ever listened to Boards of Canada.
Yeah, like I heard of them. I thought Boards of Canada was like just like an indie rock band, but now I just found out on the Wikipedia that they're electronic.
That's what I would have guessed too. That they'd be an indie rock band. Maybe there's a band with a vaguely similar name. I don't know.
Yeah. Postal Service?
Don't know.
Postal Service is like some sort of band.
Yeah.
How about the Black Dog, the Orb, Future Sound of London?
I've heard of Future Sound of London, but I don't believe I've ever listened to them.
Oh, I see. But yeah, I guess you are kind of the IDM head. Yeah.
Am I?
You know, most of the, well, what do you think of like the name IDM?
I mean, what are you trying to say? It's just
it sounds pretentious to me.
I mean, calling yourself intelligent is yeah. Going to generally be pretentious, but I mean, I don't care. I don't know. I mean, If it's sort of like a math rock equivalent, and they're trying to say that it's more competently designed than repetitive, because a lot of EDM. You what?
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying that EDM is a broad genre.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing they're trying to call it intelligent dance music, as in to say, yeah, this is dance music, but it's not for those troglodytes who actually dance. This is for people who want like complicated symphonies in their music. They're not listening to music for pleasures of the body, but to stimulate the mind.
Oh, all right. I mean,
have you ever seen someone? No one dances to intelligent dance music for the most part, right? At least not physically. Maybe intelligent dance music, you're supposed to dance to it in your mind.
I don't know. I haven't been to any place where people dance in a very long time. It could be pushing a decade. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what people dance to or what they call it. I don't care. I mean, I'm not bothered by it.
You don't like how often do you think about dance?
Do I think about it?
Yeah. How often does the idea of dancing occupy your mind?
Very infrequently.
Let's see. Apparently dancing is a huge part of communication, you know? And self-expression. A lot of people around the world dance every day.
I don't mean to deride their dancing. I'm not trying to insult it or the people who dance.
Me neither. Yeah.
Good. It's probably a huge part of healthy human expression. I'm just not associated with it.
I see. But like, you know, but it's kind of like saying you're not associated with speaking.
Well, I mean, I at least am in a minimal way.
Well, it's like saying you're not associated with music.
I mean, I listen to it, and I'm a worse than average musician. So, you know, I've got some regular affiliation with music.
But I'm just saying that, like, dance is such an integral aspect of life. You know, it's strange that I'm pretty alienated from dance as well. Strange that we're so alienated from dance. You know, I don't get dance. You know, as an art form.
You don't get it?
Not really. It's like, just like when I think about it further, it trips me up. You know, it's like it blows my mind, the idea of dancing. It's like I'm gonna move my body and like a certain pattern in order to express some deeper condition or truth.
Now, do you have any compulsion to move rhythmically when you're listening to music at all?
No, when I listen to music, I actually strap myself into a chair.
More than half the time, if I'm listening to music, I'm not compelled to move at all. So, from time to time I am, but like seriously, do you even bob your head when you listen to music?
I was trying to impress you by saying that I strapped myself down in the chair, but I think I've caught myself bobbing my head or something, you know.
So at least some rudimentary dance you're not totally, you know, detached from.
Yeah, I think the more averse to dance that someone is, it's a sign of they're totally alienated from their body.
Well,
you're pretty alienated from your own body. Is that correct?
I don't know how to respond to that.
I think dance is like the union of the body and the soul, mind and body, right? It's the art that's most purest expression of the link between the mind and the body, right? So like someone who like just does dances all the time, I guess they inhabit their body so fully that they use their body to communicate rather than the words or music, you know?
I mean, that's what the simpler animals do.
Animals dance?
Yeah. Animals will move their body as forms of expression for different reasons. And some animals will dance to, it's typically a mating thing.
Yes, I remember mating dances. Yep.
Yeah. Animals will do that.
So yeah, it's a more, I guess dancing is like a more primal form of art, because unlike painting, you know, you don't need any, like, you just need your body right there, you know. Any dance anywhere, anytime, you don't have to get like materials, you know.
Yeah, I suppose.
And dancing, it's less symbolic, right?
Well, no, it would be more advanced to like paint something that has meaning and appreciate it than it would be to express yourself physically in a way that means something to you or someone else. It'd be more primal, more like if some spiders do mating dances. So I think some flies do, don't they?
Flies, oh yeah. Bees, I think they communicate by dance. Give directions.
I mean, I'd call it more of like a sign language. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's a dance. I don't know.
But yeah, you know what you should do? You should go throw a kind of a rave at your house, and instead of EDM, put some IDM on. See how people dance to it.
No.
I mean, it sounds like a good idea. Like, yeah, just like put like an invitation, say one night only rave at the Desessant Manor, and get like a, you know, sound system and blast out some Aphex Twin in the orb. you know, and see if people dance.
I wouldn't want people to come over and dance where I live. That doesn't sound pleasant. I mean, I'll sometimes put on music. I mean, I put on music regularly. I was listening to Tom Waits' Mule Variations just, I think yesterday or the day before. You know, I listened to.
That's a real head nodder right there. That's a head bob. That's head bob music right there.
I think that's a great album.
Yeah. But yeah, you're listening to Mule Variations.
Yeah.
Two. Is that his last album?
I don't believe so. No, I think that one's a bit older. I don't follow anything really closely, but I think the last album he did was in like 2011 or something.
I know the last one I can remember was like Orphans, Brawlers, and Bastards. Is that the one?
Yeah, he did one. He did a couple after that. There's a live album of his. I had Orphans, Brawlers, and Bastards, and it came, I think, with four discs. There was three, one Orphan, Brawler, and then Bastard, and then something else. It was a live or something. And yes. Someone stole that. Mm. But he did a live album after that. Mm. And I think there's at least one or two studio albums after that. I don't know. I mean, when I'm out and about and I see an album of his that I haven't listened to, I might pick it up, but I'm not, I don't really follow any musical acts very closely.
Imagine how much of a scumbag you'd have to be to steal Tom Waits, like a Tom Waits CD.
I'll refrain from referring to the person as a scumbag because I knew her once very well, and
it was probably not stolen then. She probably took it by mistake.
No,
she borrowed it and never returned it. That's a big thing with CDs.
No, right?
Sometimes people borrow a CD and then never get around to returning it.
Well, I'd characterize it as stealing it in the context in which it occurred.
You know, so ladies and gentlemen of the audience, we have to take the show off the air to make a police report.
No. I mean, I'd like to get myself a new copy of it. I would not.
Did I go to press charges?
No. I mean, this would have been a number of years ago.
I'm pretty sure it's within the statute of limitations.
I don't think it would be, actually. I don't know. I might be characterizing it differently than she might.
Yeah. But I think I got us off a little off track here, you know. You were talking about Tom Waits
off track. Oh, no, well, yeah. No, I didn't. I mean, I was just giving an example. Like, I too listen to music.
Oh yeah. And but you danced to Tom Waits, right?
Do I? No. No, I don't believe I do.
Oh. You've never done have you ever done a jig?
I hope so.
Oh yeah.
If I haven't, I'm gonna, you know, get to it. Not now, obviously. Working on my good posture at the moment, but have you jigged? Have you jigged some?
No, I'm not allowed to dance.
I think that's who is disallowing you to dance?
My better judgment. Have you seen that episode of Seinfeld where Elaine dances?
Yes, I have.
That's me. If I dance, that's how I dance.
I would imagine you'd just sort of look down and do a shuffling hop. I think that that would be your dance move.
A shuffling hop.
Yeah. Just sort of hopping and bobbing and shuffling to the music. I think that would be your dance.
Yeah. No, my dancing is more rotation heavy. So I'll spin around. I'll just twirl. I'll do the helicopter. I'll do like the plane. You know, like I'll run around in a circle with my arms outstretched to the sides, so like a plane. That's my dance move.
Oh. Oh, I don't think much of that. Well, that's the that's the timer. We've wiled the whole day away. Speaking of glorious dance, was there anything you had a pregnant urge to poop out before we go off and I don't know, cry in our respective corners?
Yeah, actually, I like to make a couple shout outs. That's my whole thing.
You simply must make a shout out.
Yeah, I'd like to make a shout out to that little Pud fan I saved earlier from killing himself on the tracks. His hometown is Duluth, Minnesota. So shout out to Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth, you've got to be a fantastic place. So cool, Duluth.
Oh yeah, you've been there.
I would certainly know it if I'd been to a place as great as Duluth. I would certainly know it.
I see. Well, Saginaw, Michigan, the shout out for you as well.
Oh, excellent. Good for you guys.
Yeah. You've been to Michigan?
I'm sure I would have remembered it if I'd been to a place as wonderful as Michigan.
See, I think Michigan seems, from what I can tell, it has its own vibe, as its own country, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a pretty big country. There's not always a clean comparison from one corner of it to another. There's not a lot of unified culture. There are a couple of things that tie everybody together, but it is more localized, I think.
And well, like what they say is that America is actually multi-ethnic, but homogenous in culture. It's monoculture.
You're saying it is a monoculture?
America, yeah, pretty much.
Where do you get that?
I don't know. Some fool said that. It's like some fool was saying that how America, the notable thing is, it's how unified it is as a culture, even though we have all sorts of like different types of people, whereas other countries, they're like other places, they have many different cultures in a small space. Like in Europe, like in Switzerland, they have three different languages there, four actually, and it's less than the size of like Atlanta.
I see. Well, I mean, that would clash with my view of it. I think the thing that connects coast to coast, I think the broader American culture, the monoculture, could be defined by the purchasing and consumption of consumer goods. I think that there are many separate cultures, and that the dividing, or rather the uniting aspect of our culture is that it is much like a store.
It is, yeah. It was our lives do revolve around the buying stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Consumers, yeah.
I much more think that culture is more localized and fractured, and that we are essentially united by that we all
the common thread.
Yeah, the common thread is that we all live essentially in the same store. We are put on rails where we are being observed and grouped and kind of put on a predictable line of purchasing behavior. In a rough way, it's at least at this point in time hard to string together people perfectly, but I believe we are observed and placed on a line as best as possible for a particular pattern of things to consume. I think that is the uniting, or rather common thread of culture of our society, and that other aspects are going to be more localized.
And it'll be cool. You know, would you get the Google chip in your implanted in your head?
Yeah, probably not, but I would get them in some Google shoes. If I were to get the Google shoes, I would be offended if, like, why would you get the Google shoes without the chip? But the chip in my head, I've got sleeping problems anyway. Just imagine if they didn't get it perfectly flat, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it'd be in your brain.
Then we'll talk, let me think about it. If it's in the brain, that's one thing. I'll think about it. If it's on the surface of the skull someplace where it not being like perfectly flat and cohesive with the rest of the parts there, that it itch, it'd catch on things. Yeah. It'd make hats fit poorly. Hard pass with extra skull or outer skull chips.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys. I guess we gotta have one more shout out to Greenville, South Carolina. So,
Greenville, South Carolina. Bless you guys. Big fans of yours.
Yep. All right, well, keep it G style, everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Keep it G style. Keep. Bye bye.
All right, have a good one.
Yeah. When you